to be hugged by a saint. She is sitting cross-legged on the floor of her old primary school, along with several hundred other adults. There are still tissue paper snowflakes on the windows and a display board with a painting of a big red Santa from before the children broke up for the winter holidays. Amy is surprised at how many people there are crammed into the small school hall. They're not all hippies either. There are city types in suits and women with expensive haircuts, men in jeans and lamb's wool sweaters, pensioners perched on chairs around the edge. On the stage is a red velvet cushion, elaborately embroidered with gold thread and placed in the centre of a green gym mat. Amy isn't sure she believes in this kind of thing, but she's curious. She saw the fly at her weekly yoga class. "Meet Mother Meena, India's most famous living saint," it read. "Come and receive a direct transmission of divine love through Mother Meena's healing embrace." "It's indescribable," the woman behind her in the queue to get in had said. Amy thinks that's fair enough, because love isn't something she feels she can describe these days. Things with Alan have been whirlwind and wonderful, of course. Her husband of the last 3 months, he simply adores her. "She hugs everybody," the woman in the queue, who had come all the way from Cornwall, had said. "You feel so loved, and it's completely unconditional. Mother Meena sees the divinity in everyone." The woman's eyes had been open wide, sparkling like stars. She was about the same age as Amy. She wore a baggy pinafore and flat purple shoes, and her long sandy hair was in two plaits. Amy had wondered if the woman felt less unconditional love, whether she'd make more of an effort with her appearance. A decent haircut would be the place to start. Sitting on the floor waiting for Mother Meena to appear, Amy thinks about the hug. She imagines it might be like a warm bath, soothing and restoring, relaxing all the muscles in her body so that she goes home soft and glowing. She sees her colleagues on Monday morning noticing there's something a little different about her, but not being able to put their finger on quite what it is. She pictures Alan gazing at her in admiring awe. Everybody's head seems to turn at once. A short, grey-haired Indian woman, parceled in a white sari, is walking towards the stage. The sea of devotees parts for her to pass. Amy can feel the excitement. Rick, her ex, used to say she was cynical, but she's not. Mother Meena is followed by several disciples who are also in white. They help her onto the stage and lower her onto the cushion. Mother Meena sits and surveys her audience, nods her head at the crowd and beams. The disciples walk between the rows and hand out little plastic discs with numbers on. "What's this?" Amy asks when a young man with a shaved head hands one to her. "When they call this number, you can come up to the stage to get your hug." Amy thinks they should have given the tokens out as everyone came in. That would have been fairer. There are people she knows for a fact were behind her in the queue that already have their tokens. She doesn't say anything. This man is probably doing his best. Still, she might see if she can find the event manager on her way out and mention it. There's to be meditation before the hugging. Amy straightens her back and places an upturned palm on each knee. She closes her eyes. "Release any tension," says Mother Meena. "Visualize a gold thread from the top of your head ascending to heaven." Amy can hear fidgeting around her, but she, imagining the thread, is perfectly still. "Take a deep breath," says Mother Meena. Amy breathes down into her abdomen. "And breathe out," says Mother Meena. Her voice has a slightly eastern warble, like the woman who used to be Amy's mother's home help before Amy's mother died. Amy had thought Rick might have come to the funeral. That would have been awkward, of course, with Alan there. But Amy had always thought Rick had been fond of her mother. She has an itch just below her left breast. "Observe your breath entering and leaving your body," says Mother. Rick obviously felt guilty because he actually crossed the street to avoid her when he seen her on the Broadway the other day, which is sad when she thinks about how much she'd supported him. The itch moves to Amy's back, somewhere between her shoulder blades. She clenches her teeth to resist the urge to scratch. "Let go of thinking," says Mother Meena. "Amy can do this, she won't think. Relax." Amy tries to soften her jaw. The itch is still there. When she attempts to relax, it darts across her chest like a flame. "Poor Rick," her mother had said when Amy had told her they'd split. "Poor Rick." The itch stabs. Amy snatches her breath, opens her eyes, darts a quick look round the hall. But Mother Mina, sitting on her throne, has her eyes shut. Amy slips her finger under her jumper and scrapes her nails across her skin. Her breath releases and her shoulders sag. She can hear her mother, even now. "No one will ever stay with you if you aren't nicer." Amy stops scratching and closes her eyes. She'll try again, stop thinking. She knows she can do this right. She allows herself to push cautiously at her sternum and upper ribs. They feel tight. "You don't try hard enough, Amy. That's your problem," says her mother. She's grateful when the chanting starts. "Hare Rama, 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 Hare." And she can focus on the words. She's good at this. She starts to feel more at ease. The voices in the hall swell like the rumble of parents on sports day. She imagines herself cheered on. "Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare." The words rearrange themselves. "Are, Are." The initials toss in her mind. Rick, Alan, Rick, Alan. She has allowed herself to lose concentration. She is so undisciplined, the itch is back. She's not cynical, she's in love. And yes, Alan's got a few things to sort out. But he had a difficult childhood, and she understands, and she's helping him. Last week, after they'd gone to bed and Amy hadn't felt like sex, Alan had actually cried. That was before the shouting. A withholding bitch, that's what he'd called her. The neighbours must have heard. She doesn't think he meant to hit her. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. The itch is intense. "Why are you marrying so quickly?" her mother had said. "Alan appreciates me. He thinks I'm wonderful," she'd said. Her mother had raised her eyebrows and given her one of those looks. "And what about Rick?" Amy wants to plough her nails across her skin, make it sore and sharp, rather than this overpowering and relentless needling. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. "It's over with Rick." Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. She chews the words in her mouth like something whose taste she's yet to acquire. The chanting stops. The floor is hard and her back aches. She opens her eyes. The fluorescent lights are too bright. Their hum disturbs her. She would prefer to sit in the dark. Alan is always remorseful after his outbursts, grateful for her goodness and forgiveness. She is his princess, he says. 211 to 230. Her legs are stiff as she gets to her feet to join the line for her hug. On the stage, Mother Mina is receiving one person after another and wrapping them in her arms. A woman with a neat grey perm and a lumpy pink tracksuit returns to her place and breaks into loud sobs. A man in an expensive-looking pinstripe suit jumps off the stage like a schoolboy. Amy watches the woman from Cornwall being helped to her feet after the hug by two of the disciples. She seems quite dazed. Beneath the sparkly Christmas stars dangling from the ceiling, Mother Mina shines. Amy feels anxious. She steps forward and kneels. She's so nervous she almost falls into Mother Mina's lap. Mother Mina reaches out and pulls Amy to her. For a moment, Amy lets herself sink into the hug. Beneath the layers of sari, she can feel Mother's soft, fat body breathe in her soapy smell. She thinks of clean sheets and bedtime stories. She can feel tears starting to well. It would be such a relief to cry. Mother Mina gives her a little squeeze, kisses her forehead, and pushes her away. Yes, definitely, it's as gentle, but without doubt, a push. Amy gets to her feet. The hall, with its tall Victorian ceiling, is draughty. She stands by the edge of the stage and looks down at the rows of devotees. The stage is quite high. Someone could easily trip and fall. She goes carefully down the steps. The urge to cry is gone. She looks at the line of grown-ups waiting in a crocodile to be held by a homely Indian woman. She surveys the hall. She can't see anyone she knows and she's glad. She wouldn't usually come to something like this. She imagines herself telling the girls in the office about it on Monday. "Yeah, we sang some old Beatles medley. Hare Krishna, my sweet lord." She'll have them in hysterics. She pushes her hand inside her jumper and rakes her nail across her chest. The bus home is crowded with Christmas shoppers. The woman beside her cradles carrier bags from Toys R Us and Gap and Next. One arm folded over the other, Amy is surreptitiously scratching. A date with you is like a visit from the social worker. That's what Rick had told her before she'd broken it off. With you, it's always everyone else that's the problem. The clients, their mothers. Your colleagues, their mothers. Me, my mother. He was always trying to undermine her, that was the thing, despite all the support she'd given him. But if truth be known, she wonders if she'd made a mistake. You couldn't get anything past Rick. He always saw the truth of things. Through the window, the grey drizzle brings an early dusk. The bus stops, a teenager gets on, her hood pulled forward. She looks sullen and morose. Amy wants to get up and go and pull her hood down and tell her not to be so silly and let people see her pretty face. She thinks of her mum. "You were awful to that young man," she'd said. But Amy misses her, even the niggles and the put-downs. She wants her mother, and she wants her to say, "Poor you, Amy, poor you." She takes a tissue out of her pocket and gives her nose a good blow. She puts the tissue away and holds on tight to the seat in front. The woman sitting beside her reaches over and gives Amy's hand a little pat.